Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Good. It's just been, I can't believe the holidays are upon us, Deesha, and we just finished Thanksgiving and Christmas is right around the corner.
Yes, well, you know, I said that. I was like, something good must be happening in 2015 because this is an awful big hurry to get here. It's like before we knew it, we blinked our eye and coughed and sneezed and then boom, it's over.
I know, that's a good way of putting it. It must be something good hanging around the corner. Like you said, it's really, really rushing to get up in here. But it's all good. I can't wait. I know there's some great things coming out of our camp with Boss Lady Publishing. And I hope everybody has gotten their copy of Devious Deception. It released on Black Friday. I got my copy. You got yours, Leisha?
Yes, ma'am, I got my copy. I'm ready for Miss Boo Jackson. She's going to be released this Friday, December the 5th, and that's that malicious intent. So I'm ready for that, too.
Mm-hmm, me too. Now, I'm a new fan of Boo Jackson. You know, I got a little taste of that malicious intent, and she is no joke. I like her pen. She got a different spin on her pen, so I'm looking forward to that dropping on Friday.
She definitely does, and I think the best thing that she writes is the historical fiction. She'll make you think that you're back in that time, and you walking down the street and you marching in the marches. I mean, her pen is universal, and that's the best thing about her as an author is that she does have that universal pen. I always compare her to Nora Neale Hurston because she just reminds me of her in so many different ways with her writing. So I'm excited about her Malicious Intent that's dropping under Boss Lady Publishing. I'm excited for Boss Lady Mimi Capri. This is her view as a publisher. So this will be her second book out as a publisher. So I'm just excited all the way around.
Me too. You know, Nene got so many things going on. She has the P-Trap Part 4 that should be dropping. That's another reason why 2015 should hurry up and get here, Leisha. I believe it's dropping in January sometime.
Yes, ma'am. She's getting on that real tough.
You know, when anything with Nene's name connected, we are ready to one click because we know it's going to be a bona fide fire.
Absolutely. I always tease her. I said, I wouldn't care if you wrote on top of a paper sack. I'd be like, girl, did you hear that paper sack? What did you do? She could write a commercial. That commercial was the best.
You know, speaking of commercials, you know, Nene has a commercial here on Writing Royalty. Just that little bit of commercial. Every time I hear it, Leisha, I just get so excited. Like, I just love that commercial. So you're absolutely right. She got, even a commercial, she makes excited. Okay, when is part two of that commercial coming out?
Right. Well, you know, and I think it's her demeanor and the way she carries herself. She like, sometimes you have to, and I'm a firm believer, you have to know what you know because you know it. And when you do, all of that will just spill out of you. You know what I'm saying? And it spills out uh-huh. into her personality. So, you know, when she gets on there, she has that personality, and she has, you can hear her personality, you hear her ambition, you hear her drive. It comes out when she talks to anybody. So I think uh-huh. that's the best part about her.
I think so, too. So like I said, The P-Trap Part 4, keep your cyber eyes open and peeled. It should be dropping sometime in January. And I do think Bebo has, I used to love a 2 coming out. I don't have the exact date, but have that on, that's out on the horizon also. So keep your eyes peeled for that. But you're listening to The Scoreboard this Tuesday evening with Tony and Leisha. We're going to be talking all things sports, and we'd love for you guys to tune in. So, Leisha, you're a big 49ers fan. A big
49ers fan. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I am.
Let's talk about those Niners.
Oh, man. You know, that's the thing about us Niners fans. We're really hardcore. And as hard as we are on other people, we are even harder on our team when they ain't getting it right.
Uh-huh.
And that Thanksgiving game, you know, that was a hot mess, and they all needed a beating with a switch.
Uh-huh.
Every last one of them needed a beating with a switch. Needed to pop the trunk on them and smash knuckles.
Now, you know, I always tell Jazz, you got to be tiptoeing around those Niners, but we always like to talk about them because, you know, those are you and Nene's favorite team. So we
yes,
have to talk about them.
Yes, I rock with them, win or lose. I'm a Niners fan all day. But the one thing I can always say is this is a pattern. They always play the Seahawks twice, and they always
uh-huh.
lose once, and they always win the next time. So I'm looking
uh-huh.
forward to the next go-round when they head out to Seattle, and I'm looking for them to whip that tail.
I think that's their last game for both of them. Am I right? I think that's their last game, so that is something to look forward to.
Right. Well, you know, our biggest thing right now is making it to making that playoff run. So
uh-huh.
we got to make it to the playoffs. We got to get there. I don't care if they got to have a spinach. I don't care what they need to have. You know, Harbaugh is like the best coach they have had since 2011.
Uh-huh.
He has sprung back into that team, and I think he needs to just crack that whip and get them in order. And let them know that we going to get there. Now, we going to get there. You going to walk? Well, I'm going to drag you, but we getting there. So, I'm ready.
Well, you know, Jazz loves to talk about those Niners. Now, there's such controversy with the coach and Cap. You know, I'm relatively new to this football thing. I've only really gotten into it for the last, I'd say, maybe 2 years. So, I'm still learning. But I see these headlines. You know, and he's having some issues. Am I not mistaken, Coach Harbaugh?
I don't think the issues are necessarily with the players, though. I think
mm-hmm.
it may be with the office. And I think it's probably the direction that the team should go. You know how sometimes, you know, people are not on the same page if they have different agendas. And I think the office has an agenda. I believe the coach has an agenda, and the players have their own agenda individually. You know what I'm saying? I don't
mm-hmm.
think they have a great relationship. If I'm not mistaken, he drafted Kaepernick
mm-hmm.
to the Niners. So
mm-hmm.
I believe they have a great relationship, more like a father-son. I believe him and the players have a father-son relationship. But even in marriages, you know, like when the kids hear the parents arguing all the time, they replicate that, and it becomes frustrating. And the one thing I know about the Niners is whenever there's something going on behind the scenes and they're not meshing, whether it's arguments, whether it's suspensions, whatever the case may be, they don't play well. They can say, oh, it's because Kaepernick has a girlfriend. Kaepernick has always had a girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? It's a tension back there. It's some extra stuff going on, and he's very ambitious. And Harbaugh is very ambitious. Winning and success trumps really anything going on in the locker room. But at the same time, I think that it pours out onto the field, you know, when things are not said. And it's just some stuff just happens. And I think that when things aren't being said and things aren't being corrected, and people are not satisfied and they're arguing and they're bickering, that comes out on any team. You can see when any team is having a problem. You saw it in Miami. You saw it with Kobe and the Lakers. You see it whenever there's an issue. There's always, it always spills out onto the court or onto the field. So we definitely know there's something going on. We definitely know they're not on the same page. I don't believe Harbaugh is going anywhere. You know, all teams have their drama. It's crunch time. I believe that Harbaugh is tired of not winning the Super Bowl. He's very ambitious. You can see his passion when he coaches. He's on the sideline. You can tell when he's mad. Now, he's not going to ever, I don't think I'm ever going to see him as mad as that one coach. What team was that that played the other day, and the coach just kind of flipped. I want to say he was the defensive, I don't know which coach it was, but he flipped his microphone like he was not happy. Now, I don't think I'll ever see him like that, because that coach needed to get popped in his ass. He was a little bit too cool, too close. It's not his fault. He on the sideline.
But was it a Thanksgiving Day game on Sunday? Which day? You remember which day it was?
Give me a minute. Let me think about it, because it was just a recent game. And I said, did he just, oh, no, he didn't just. Not, you know. Oh, it was, you know who it was? My nephew plays for Michigan State, and we were watching the Michigan State game. And they played Penn State, because I remember posting number four Penn State. I didn't like the way he pushed on Jeremy. It just didn't, he needed to keep his hands to himself. But
yeah,
their coach was so frustrated. I don't know what, if it was the defensive coordinator or whoever, but he flips his little microphone and his little headpiece, and I said, oh, no, Steve, he needed to drag him up out of there and beat him down, because that was too close. You are grown. You are on national television. You need to keep your hands to yourself. I don't care how frustrated you are to think that y'all losing to the Spartans.
But, you know, you raised a very interesting point about the dynamics of a team as far as winning and losing. You have management, you have coaching staff, and then you have the players. So what you're saying is so true, because we're experiencing that here in New York with the Jets. You know, the management is trying to run the team, and the coach has to run the team, and then the players, they feel the effects of it. You know, and then they go out on the field, and they're expected to perform to the utmost. And like you said, you can't do that when you have so much turmoil behind the scenes. So I totally agree with that, because we're seeing it right here in New York as well. You know, and they're always saying the coach has to go, but the players are out on the field. You know, they're the ones out there in the trenches, as they say, going through all of that drama.
Well, you know, there's always rumors out there. But, you know, there's rumors that Michigan, because, you know, they just recently fired their coach. They won Harbaugh. And I don't think it's been any secret that a lot of the players that know him personally have reached out for him to come back, to get them back on track. However, New York is also in the running for Harbaugh if he leaves. You know, it's like, oh, no, you got a hot coach. He's a hot commodity. He's a hot product. And I don't know what I was watching, I don't know if it was SportsCenter or something, but one of the guys made a good point. He said whenever a coach's name is mentioned, they get a pay raise. Something happens where they sweeten the pot to make sure that they stay. So the 49ers can't really afford for him to leave. They don't want him to leave. He don't want to leave. They're going to have to just get with his program. Get with the program and you won't leave him. But we're going to see how this all plays out. I'm praying for New York. I'm not a New York fan, but you are, Miss T. So I'm going to pray that y'all get it together.
You and me both. I'll be sitting and praying up every day because, you know, both of our teams
yes.
need to be resurrected, girl. Because, I don't know, after last night, we both had the Jets and the Giants had winning. They were winning their game up until the fourth quarter on Sunday and last night. It was such a heartbreaker.
Yes.
Two teams that they should have won. Everybody, you know, I'm a New York fan. I'm a diehard. You know, you got to stick with who you got to stick with. So, you know, those two losses, they were gut-wrenching.
And I think that's where they would benefit with a good coach, especially like Harbaugh, because he's a quarterback coach. He brings quarterbacks to life. He brought Alex Smith to life. He brought Colin Kaepernick to San Francisco. He knows what he's doing, and I think if he did leave and go to New York, he would do some service, and he would help mold Geno Smith into a better quarterback.
Yeah. You know, Geno, he came back last night at last night's game of being benched for two or three games for Michael Vick. And he let off pretty well.
I like Michael Vick, and personally, I don't think he should have went to New York. I like Colin Kaepernick, too, but I kind of think that he should have went to the 49ers. They should have had Vick and Kaepernick. They would have had two hot quarterbacks, two hot arms, a hot team. Because, you know, the only thing Michael Vick needs is a good line to protect him. If he got a good line to protect him, it's no stopping him. But if he don't have no protection, then there's a problem.
And that's what happened in those two games. You know, I never really saw him play, but he started those two games because of Geno Smith's, you know, inability to not have any turnovers. And he hadn't been practicing with that first line. So it showed, but he didn't have any turnovers. He has a nice running game. So I'm getting all my, you know, lingo with the running back and, you know, a quarterback that runs and a quarterback that doesn't. I'm seeing both of those situations here in New York.
Absolutely. The one thing that really, really got me with Michael Vick, and he always has been on my radar since I saw him play like a whole quarter by himself. Literally, he played the whole quarter by himself. He ran.
Really?
He did everything. He didn't have no protection. And this is the thing. You could talk about the quarterback all day long, but if you don't have a line for that quarterback, if that line don't have a protection, if they're not tough, they can't be no little weakies, you can't hold nobody back. You are there to protect the quarterback. That's what you do so they can do what they do. If you don't protect them, it makes it hard for them to do their job. And the fact that the Eagles did not know how to get it together and keep their quarterback by improving their line, to me, was a problem, and it's a loss. Because once he gets that hot line in front of him, that's going to be the Super Bowl team because it's not going to be anything stopping them. He made it, you know, and I'm just hoping that hopefully maybe New York can get it together and learn that if you got a squad in front of your quarterback, I don't care who it is, you make their job a lot harder, easier. But when you don't have a line to protect them, they got to do your job and their job too. And you know the saying, I can't do you and I can't do you do me too. I gotta run, I gotta slide, I gotta do this. You know, and you have quarterbacks that can do that. Colin Kaepernick is a runner too. You know, Mike Vick is a runner. They have the legs, they can do that. They have the speed, they can make that happen. But to do that over and over, that's wear and tear on someone's body. You know, a quarterback can't be effective if he doesn't have time. And that's what that line is for. They're there to give the quarterback time. You got a job to do. Get your ass out there, and I'm going to need you to bump up and block. If you can't block, then I'm going to need you not just sit on the bench, but I'm going to need you to roll on in the locker room, change your clothes, get in your car, and head home for the day. Because you're not needed. If you're not going to play, if you're not going to go hard, then you need to go home. Just say.
You're absolutely right. You know, Jazz and I brought up that, you know, because he asked me, because he knows I'm a New York fan, Eli Manning, go. And I said, you know, he needs someone protecting him. He doesn't have enough time. He has to do. So all the fault is not on the quarterback when he's sacked. You know, you got to be out there protecting your man. So, you know, that's something that Jazz and I are always just talking about as far as should the quarterback go because he's being sacked. But you got to have that protection. That's what they're there for. Like you said, if you're not going to do the job, see ya.
Absolutely. And my husband, he laughs at me all the time because if anybody sacks Colin Kaepernick, I'm like quarterback for a quarterback. You better take that quarterback out. Every time they sack him once, you better sack their quarterback four times over to let them know we're going to need y'all to play. We don't need this physical. We can be physical too, but we want to fight. And I think sometimes, especially with the 49ers, they get upset and they kind of get in their feelings and then it's fighting and it's, we don't need that. But if you touch the quarterback, I'm with you. Take him down. Take his head right on off. Make him go sit on the bench.
Speaking of quarterbacks, you know, I don't know, did you see that headliner between New England and Green Bay with those two great quarterbacks on Thanksgiving? I missed the game because, you know, I was cooking all day, but I really wanted to see that game. That was like two top quarterbacks in the league going head-to-head. What do you think about those two?
Well, you know me. I only watch the Niners, but my husband, he watches everything. I don't care what it is. My man is watching it. Boring or not.
Does he have a favorite team?
He's a Lions fan. So he's Detroit all day. With the marquee matchup, you know, it's a Super Bowl preview. Yes, but I think it's a Super Bowl preview. That could be a possible preview on what we're going to see in the Super Bowl. Like with the Harbaugh, how they, you know, they were excited that the two brothers were going to go up against each other. I think that this year with the Super Bowl, I think it's going to have the same thing with the New England and
the Green Bay.
The Packers.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, I kind of lean towards New England. I like that quarterback. From what I've been learning over the time. But he's awesome. But Peyton, you know, the other Peyton brother, he's no slouch either with Denver Broncos.
Right, well, Peyton, I don't know. Don't ask me about quarterbacks.
Know.
I'm not very nice if it's not, you know.
You're biased. You only got that cat. Nobody else exists in Leisha's world. Leisha can't come.
Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are they're great pocket passers. They are. They are great pocket passers. And they're great with their hands, and they do what they do. And I think what makes them able to do what they do is that, you know, Nene always says, teamwork makes the dream work. You got to work together. And I think that's what they do. They protect them. They work with them. And they get the job done. I kind of want to say about time in a way, but they do. They are good at what they do. And they are the marquee lineup because of that. Because of the way they do their job and their effectiveness.
Right. Now, you know, while we're still in this football, another quarterback was benched this past weekend, Robert Griffin Jr. You know, who saw that coming?
Oh, my God, I can't with this one. Oh, my God. I'm holding my forehead right now. I'm holding my forehead right now because I can't with this one. He is too arrogant. He is too arrogant, and that is his problem. The problem is that he is on cloud 95, and three just needs to grow the hell up. You are in the NFL. you are franchising now. I'm going to need you to get it together. You out here acting like you don't know no better. You want to be able to do whatever you want to do and say whatever you want to say and not have any repercussions, and you don't want this and you don't want that because you are G3. That's not how it works. And if they ask your family not to do something, this is the thing. This is your job. It's just like if you work anywhere else. This is your job. You have to lead and not throw your teammates under the bus. If this is a requirement or this is what's needed to make your team better, that's where you roll with. So if they don't want your dad here or your uncle there or wherever, you're supposed to pull the coattail of your family members and say, okay, I'm going to need y'all not to do that. And I think they benched him to teach him a lesson. He needed to learn that we, even if we don't win, we're not going to accept this from you. We need you to get it together. You know, you can't be a Devo. It just doesn't work. And there's a, and don't get me wrong, there's a lot of Devos in the NFL. But there's a lot of Devos sitting at home watching TV in the NFL as well. We got Ocho Cinco. I mean, we got all of these Devos that can't get it up. They can't get it, not get it up like that. But you know what I'm saying? You can't get it together. You can't get it going. So now you at home and you playing, how you say it, a passenger, somebody right on the passenger side. Now you at home trying to coach the team. You playing from your bedroom side, you know, the sidebar at the bedroom, probably sitting in Texas. But it's like if you had got it together and got yourself in order and checked yourself, you got to have that humility. You know, you can't think that you're better than what you really are. And even if you feel that way, it's okay. But you got to be a team player in anything you do. And if you're not a team player, then that's a problem. With RG3, I want to say when he first went there, I kept hearing problems. It was problems. It was problems. He was butting heads with people because he got a big old head. Somebody needs to take a big, long, thin pen and pop his head. And I think sitting him on the bench is what did it. You pop his little bubble and you let him, we'd rather lose than have to put up with your shit. Excuse me, blog talk race. He's too damn arrogant.
He hasn't been in the league that long to be, you know, with walking around, as they say, smelling himself. He hasn't been in the league that long.
No, but it has to start in college. Somebody has pumped his head up. They done put all that oxygen and helium in his head. He got a swole head. He came in with a swole head. And now that it's work that has to be done, you need to sit down and get it together. Your head needs to be deflated because you actually have a serious job and you're in a serious position. And this is a serious time, and it takes serious people to make that happen. You ain't all that. Get it together. There's plenty of quarterbacks that play way better than you. You need to learn how to improve your craft, improve what you got to do, help your team out, and grow as a team. You can't come in there thinking because I'm RG3. And no, it's over for that. That was your first year. It's over for that. I need him to get it together seriously.
True.
Go ahead, Miss T. We'll take a quick break after that.
Okay, no, I was going to say that's true. And plus, you know, you don't throw your team under the bus like that. You just don't. I'm sorry. I think you lost a lot of points when you did that.
Absolutely. And it's that me mentality. That's how it happens. You can't have that me mentality because when you do, you will always throw people under the bus. Those people that you need to protect you and have your back.
Right. Right.
It's ridiculous. So we're going to play for it. We're going to take a moment of silence. We're going to grab this commercial in our moment of silence. We're going to play for RG3 and his mentality and that he gets it together.
Absolutely.
I would say he needed a beating, a talking to from his mom and his dad, but, you know, from what I'm hearing, streets is talking that, you know, they got, it's just a big head all the way around. So I'm just needing him to get it together.
Okay.
It's the one and only the boss, Lady Nene Capri. I hail all the way from North New Jersey. I'm the author of the Pussy Trap series, Trust No Bitch series, and my latest book under G Street Chronicles, Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. You can holler at me at NeneCapri.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as Nene Capri. I'm coming to a library near you. Trapping.
When a skillful marksman is handed a difficult mark, she battles between love and death. Erica, the beautifully sexy yet deadly trigger, has come face to face with the person she cannot kill. But in reality, she cannot allow her to survive. Unstable friendships and loyalty will be tested as passion and revenge slide comfortably into its place. Author Boo Jackson takes you on a thrill ride and poses the question, what do you do when you're torn between what's right and what's wrong, what's real and what's fantasy? Sanity and insanity will fight for a position on the throne as she brings to life the darkened heart behind Malicious Intent. Malicious Intent by author Boo Jackson. Available at Boss Lady Publishing. Check it out.
Yes, coming December the 5th. Keep your cyber eyes peeled for that Boo Jackson heat.
Absolutely. And if you haven't gotten your copy already, get Escamillion's Devious Deception. Another great one from Boss Lady Publishing, the premiere, actually.
Yes, yes, yes. Shout out to author and publisher now, Nene Capri, doing her thing, making big moves over there. Shout out to Mr. Sherman and Miss Shauna. Mm-hmm. They're over there doing some things, G Street and Boss Lady. So big ups to them. That's great.
It is, it is. Now, we got some quick gears here. Let's talk about some basketball. You know that's my passion.
Yes, ma'am, but we're going to go back to football. We're going to go back to that college football because I want to talk about the firing of Michigan's coach.
Okay.
And the tragedy in Ohio, you know, from Ohio State. I want to make sure we hit those two, but let's get with that NBA.
Okay. So tonight is a big night in the NBA world because Kevin Durant returned after 6.5 weeks on the sideline. So that's an exciting game. You know, Westbrook returned last week, and it didn't look like he missed a beat with his return. So it's going to be interesting to see what Mr. Durant does tonight, and hopefully I'll be able to catch some of that game tonight. So are you as into basketball as you are football?
I do like basketball. It varies, though. I do like Durant. I like individual basketball players. I kind of like their style and the way they do things. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I have a problem with the NBA is that they play hurt. And mm-hmm. when you play hurt, even if it's a small hurt, it turns into something big. So with mm-hmm. Durant, he was hot. He's a hot product. He's a hot commodity. He's a hot ball player. But the problem was that you're back from your broken foot. Now, in August, he quit Team USA. He said his body needed to rest.
Right.
Now, that told me, my body needs to rest. You're hurt, and you're trying to get it together before the new season starts. That's what my mm-hmm. mind tells me. Then in mm-hmm. October, he turns around and he has surgery. That
right.
tells me I was correct. You were already hurt, and you were advised not to play on Team USA for the sake of not making things worse, making your situation worse. Now, mm-hmm. he's been out 17 games. You know, they play the Pelicans tonight, and I think mm-hmm. he's excited. I think he's going to do good. I like the Pelicans, all these different NBA team names. I don't know, but I think that he's going to come out on top. He's going to be all right. I'm quite sure he would not come back if he wasn't 100%. So we're going to see if he make it do what it do.
But I personally think it's kind of soon. You know, you from surgery and first the back and then the foot, and I don't know. Maybe they have an awesome, you know, medical team in OKC, but you don't, like you said, you don't want to come back too soon and make the initial injury any worse. You know, and
I
think he's coming out with the Pelicans because of the Pelicans' record. I can't see him coming out like maybe nothing against you, Pelican fans.
You said check the source. I'm just saying check the source, check who they're playing today. But he's 8 points so far. But I do agree that he might have those 8 points because of the team. But I do think that it's essential for especially an NBA team to have an extraordinary team that takes care of any injuries. And I believe that they have been working on his injuries the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, when he says, I'm in good shape, I'm doing good, I think that they were already preparing to bring him back at 100%, and they were working behind the scenes when we thought he was resting his body, you know, because you just don't wake up one morning.
Now, Alicia, I wonder if he would be coming out if he was playing Cleveland, you know, because LeBron is a physical player. You know, you got to be 100%, if not more, when you go up against him. So, you know, that's why I say about the Pelicans. Coming back.
I think he would be good. I think he would be good even if it was LeBron. Only because he didn't wake up October 16th and say, oh, I needed to have surgery. You already knew you had to have surgery probably last year. It probably was already a work in progress. You knew what needed to be done. The Pelicans have a better record. Mm. Right, they have a better record right now. The rest is so deep. The team, you know, they needed him to come back. They needed him.
They did.
He's back. He's excited to be back. You know, I don't think he's worried. He did an interview, and, you know, on his face, you know how you just like, I'm not beat. You know, everybody is all like, oh, my God, you got hurt. You had surgery. How did it go? And you get that, I'm not beat. I'm good. Because he was already in preparation for his surgery. He knew he had to have surgery before we knew he had to have surgery. And I think that was the one thing that Oklahoma did was they prepared themselves. They prepared themselves for him to be gone. They knew exactly how long he was going to be gone. And they had to make it do what it do until he got back. He back, and we're going to see what he do tonight. I think it's going to be pretty good. I want to look at him 5 games from now because that wear and tear on your body, that wear and tear on your foot, that's what I want to see. You're still doing good after 5 games, and you back to your regular self, and you all right.
Yeah, like you're absolutely right with that wear and tear running up and down the court with that, you know, that ankle. That's no joke. Absolutely not a joke. But speaking of jokes, you know, I'm a diehard Knicks fan. I'm a diehard Knicks fan. I don't know what's going on with my team, Alicia. I really just don't know what's going on with my team. And if Jazz is here,
I'm gonna
here
tonight. Go ahead on and give them space blogging. Blog them. Get them, Tony. Get them. Tell them how to get it together.
I love my Knicks, but come on. We've been losing some that we should not be losing. I know Melo was out. You know, I'm a big Melo fan. I got to do my shout-out, Jazz. Say I can't have a show without mentioning Melo.
Go ahead, shout him out.
But, you know, they played hard when he was out those couple of games. But it was like when he comes back, you know, where's the team? We need everybody on the same page in one game. Mm-hmm. So we're actually playing right now. We're playing Brooklyn. As everyone likes to say, they're our rivals. But at this point, it's not really a rival, I don't feel. But we're playing Brooklyn. It started at 8 o'clock. They're playing Brooklyn at the Garden, you know. The Knicks reign here in New York, as far as I'm concerned. So I'm gonna see how they do tonight.
I definitely agree, but I'm gonna say Carmelo is in the same position, and you might get me on this mistake. He should have left. This is the thing. When you want, now LeBron left. Because he didn't have no help, and he couldn't make it by himself. So in any relationship, you know, it takes separation to bring appreciation. Carmelo Anthony, he needs to leave. He needs to leave briefly. He needs to make them miss him, and that'll get the front office butt moving on making sure that he has people around him that can help him do what he needs to do. But he can't do it by himself, and as long as he continues to try to play all by himself, he is going to be hurt over and over and over and over and over. And he's not going to heal properly. And that's not good. And I would be asking for a raise. You want me to do, I can't, again, here we go. I can't do you and do me too. And they try. They try, and they do whatever they have to do to play through the pain. One player can only cannot win championships. It takes a whole team. It takes the team has to work together. And this is the thing, same thing like when we look, when we talk about football, you always see when there's something going on behind the scenes, it pours out. And it is pouring out right now on today's basketball court, and they need to get it. They need to get it together, or they're going to lose. They're going to lose Melo. He'll be back, but they're going to lose him, and they're going to hurt while he's gone. They better take a piece of paper and take some examples out of Cleveland's book, because they lost LeBron, and they hurt when he left. And if Melo leaves New York, they're going to hurt. And they're going to try to spin their wheels to get him back. Why do all that extra work when you can just fix it right now?
Well, you know, he just re-signed his contract for 5 years, but we have so many contracts that are heavy, and we're hoping that once this year is up, he'll be able to get some help, because he does need help, because you can't do it all on your own, because you'll wear yourself out, you'll burn yourself out. You know, there's no way that he can carry a whole team throughout the whole season and into the playoffs and championship. You just can't. It's just not doable.
You are correct. That sounds like Kobe's problem. It sounds like LeBron's problem. Carmelo got the same problem now. You have these players that are there to play. And my thing is, either play hard or get in your car and go home. We don't want you riding the bench. We don't need you on the bench. Put your clothes on, get in your Ferrari or Rolls Royce or whatever you have, and head your way home. We don't even need you here sitting, because you serve no purpose. You're becoming a liability if you're not here to play the game.
Right. Absolutely. You have to have a supporting cast. You just have to, in order to be successful, or even to just, you know, to win. Just, you don't even have to win a championship. Just win your game. You got to have a supporting cast.
Now, what about this, Miss T? I'm not saying that it's going to happen, because I think Durant is from Oklahoma. He has no desire to leave Oklahoma. I believe that he'll be in the same position as everybody else, where he will have to leave them at some point in time so that they can appreciate what they have. But what if he left and went to New York? That would be a right opportunity for New York to be able to get it together, because you got Melo and you got Durant.
Well, you know, Durant's name has been floating around here in New York, you know, once all these heavy contracts have been up, because then they'll have the cap space. So his name has been coming up quite a bit, you know, and everyone loves the lights here on Broadway, clearly MNC's on Broadway. So, you know, that's something that us New York Knicks fans have in the back of our head that could possibly come to fruition. That would be great, great. But then, you know, you have that Westbrook. You know, I'm not sure how his contract is working, but I believe they came in together, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. Well, it's going to be interesting how these folks get it together. I think that when it comes to money, I think in any sport, everybody has their own set agenda. The front office has their agenda. You got overhead. You got want to cut costs. It's tax time. We need more money. We got to do this. We got to do that. And Kevin Durant, he came from New York, you know.
That's
if he comes to New York, you know,
Phil Jackson may come back and coach again. I don't think so, but
we're just
I don't think so, too. But Phil Jackson, you know, his name is big, so anything associated with him, you know, people sit up and take notice. You know, he's not some fly-by-night name. Phil Jackson is big. That's a big name, you know, and you want to be associated with. When you speak to Phil Jackson, you talk about success, hard work, you know, team. And he brings all that to wherever he is in whatever situation that he finds himself. So, you know, that people can tend to gravitate towards that because he has a winning record. And that's what people want, a winning record.
Absolutely. And you know what? And I don't think necessarily that it's the team itself. You know, they get to swapping out players and doing this and doing that, and then you find out you hiring and firing another coach, you trading another player, and I think it goes all the way back to the front office where you need to swap out some of them. If you are not getting the results you want, when you start doing your house cleaning, you need to clean from the top, work your way down. If you start cleaning from the top, everybody else is going to fall in line because they don't know that the owner is serious. He wants wins, and he wants results, and he wants it now. And I think sometimes that front office gives the coach the hardest time, and that gives the players the hardest time, and it causes too much drama and conflict. We ain't got time for that. When it's time for that season, these fans, they want to see games. They want to see good games. They want to see people out here doing what they got to do. We don't want to see a whole bunch of people on the court in their feelings. Anybody got time for that?
You're going to pay too much money to be on the court in your feelings. You better get out there and play some ball. You know how many people would love it? I mean, you're getting paid for doing something that you love, you know? So there's no room, like you said.
You want more money. You want this. I'm going to need you to stop whining like a little baby. And I'm going to need you to get out there and earn your money. People always talk about baseball players, but one thing I say about baseball, they earn their money. They earn their money, and you have no choice but to work, because if they don't work, they on the first thing smoking, in and out. And I think that NFL and the NBA need to follow suit, and you'll see a lot of different things happen. So sometimes you got to clean that front office. It just be a hot-ass mess sometimes. Too much red tape and pop sticks and this and that. This is a sport, and you make money based off of your fans watching, and when the fans stop watching, you stop making money.
That's true. That's absolutely true. They just start to revamp. But you're listening to The Scoreboard this Tuesday evening with Tony and Leisha. We're talking all things sports. You know, we may not be talking, you know, maybe about your particular team, but if you want to get in on the conversation, just call in. We'd love to talk to you. Once again, you're listening to The Scoreboard, talking all things sports. So beautiful Miss Leisha and the one and only Tony. Now, Leisha, we're going to get back into your football, because we can't let this evening go by without talking about your Michigan fired coach. You want to weigh in on that, so go ahead, girl.
Okay, so today they announced, I think it was like 4:30 or 5 o'clock, Michigan announced that they fired Hope, or however you pronounce his name. This is my thing. I already knew it was coming. So they fired him because of his pitiful 5-7 record. Now, this is the thing. We're going to go back to the main office talk in a minute. But they fired him because of the 5-7 record. You know, and it's like they need to step their game up in so many different areas that it's just not the coach. This is my thing. He had a 4-year contract, if I'm not mistaken. You just fired another coach because he was winning. And then you got this coach. He started out with 11 games, which I think he set himself up. But now you done fired him. And to me, you need to go to that main office and do some cleaning there. Because if you're firing coaches, every time you turn around and you can't hold them, that means that it's something else behind the scenes. They need to step up their game in recruiting, You know, it's just ridiculous. So I'm not surprised that this happened. You know, they're not winning any bowls. They're constantly losing home games. Then they had the scandal with him. Remember, he let that quarterback play, and it was clearly obvious that he had some sort of concussion or something wrong. And he tried to say, oh, no, I didn't know. I think you knew. So it's like it was inevitable that he was going to leave. I say good riddance. I'm not a Michigan fan. I'm a Michigan State fan. But this is the thing. When somebody sends their baby to your school, they're there for protection. You're there to do a job, and they're trusting you with their prized possession. And
that's true.
He needed to go. He had no control over the team. He couldn't make anything happen. Everything he tried wasn't working. You know, the defense is wishy-washy. One minute they want to play, next minute not so much. I mean, it's just he became a liability.
How long was he there, though,
Lisa? He was there for his 4 years. He had a 4-year contract.
Okay.
But, you know, something is off. And I'm going to say it's not just with the coaches. And I'm saying when they get their next coach, they're going to fire him, too, because it's going to be the same thing. You know, you're losing to the rivals. That doesn't help either. Every time you turn around, Michigan State whooping on you. I mean, it's Ohio State whooping on you. It don't make no sense. Why are you not winning? And I think that there's too many things. There's some issues behind the scenes with the school and that particular program. And I think that they need to check that program out. You know, now, Ms. T, I'm going to ask, you know, what do you think, where do you think they should go next? They got a lot of coaches floating in the air. Harbaugh is a coach. Les Miles, Mullen, I think that's his name. So what do you think that they should start looking for? I think they need to direct themselves on what they need as a team. But what do you think would help them out? Because they need some guidance, clearly.
I think, you know, it starts from the top. You know, obviously something is not meshing at the top as far as management. Because if you keep making the same mistakes and expecting different results, you know, you're not going anywhere. But if Harbaugh doesn't take that job, that just opens it up for the New York Jets.
You know what? You're not taking my coach, Miss T. That was a what if moment. If I got to tie him to the stadium.
I'm just saying.
If I got to tie him down myself, as long as he stay with the 49ers, it's all good. He's not leaving. No. Especially that's to me. That's the way for a good coach to go play college. I mean, you got to coach college. I mean,
That's true.
I mean, don't you? I think he enjoys the NFL adrenaline way too much to go back to college. Yeah, I think that he is too ambitious, and he wants too much more to just want the Rose Bowl. You see what I'm saying? Because he coached at college, and he left there to go to the NFL. So, you know, the knife in the back would be for him. Now, you know, and now if he went to the Raiders, there would be a problem. Then I would say send his ass to New York. You know, we don't want him anymore. Because, you know, I don't do the Raiders at all.
Oh, boy. Don't talk about those Raiders. That's Jazz's team, you know.
I'm sorry, Jazz, but the Faders are not my team. I would take the Chargers over the Raiders any day, okay?
That's funny. But before we go, let's touch on this Ray Rice issue. Let's touch on that before we go, since we're still in this football frame of mind, you know. Do you think he should be given a second chance? Do you think anyone would pick him up, any team?
Well, I think he should be given a second chance. I think him and Peterson should both get a second chance. You know, and this is the thing. Other than the scandal is the only thing that makes it's the PR that's the problem. It's not the player. You got teams that want both of them. So it's not right. Like, oh, you're a band, you know, your skills is something that, you know, we really don't need. But you got four teams that's interested in Rice. You got people that's interested in Peterson. It's not that they're bad players. It's their off-the-field issues that are a problem. But I just think that this is work. And work and personal are two different things. However, you have to understand that you are in the spotlight. And when you are in the spotlight, you have to take care accordingly. I don't know why you on an elevator that has cameras behaving in that way anyway, because it's going to be seen. Either somebody's going to see it, somebody's going to hear it, and it's going to be news. Somebody's going to tweet about it. You deserve, you know, a chance for redemption. You know, he deserves to be able to play. Him and his wife, they got married. She worked it out. They've moved on. And see, this is the thing. You know how we talk about on our other show. You know, when you talk to your family and friends about something that they did, even though you and your man move on in that relationship, everybody else is in that elevator. They haven't got out the elevator yet. They're sitting in the elevator. That elevator scene became so public that everybody is sitting in the elevator and they've moved on. And this is and that's the thing. And it's going to be hard. And I think the biggest problem with him is, and Peterson, is that it's a PR problem. It's a PR issue. But others have done worse. They received a second chance. Mike Vick, he received his second chance. Everybody deserves a second chance, especially if they can play. If you can play and you're an asset, they're going to take you. I knew when Mike Vick went to jail, I knew they were going to take him as soon as he got released and was able to play. I know the Eagles weren't, we're going to let you go, but we're going to take you back. They weren't letting him go nowhere. As soon as you get straight, you're coming right back here. Problem was that they couldn't protect him, you know, so they ended up losing him. But with Rice and Peterson, I think that they're going to be fine. People need to get out of the elevator. They need to get over the fact that Peterson spanked. Now, the spanking was a little bit much, but all grown-ups, all parents make bad decisions. All of us. We've made a decision bad in some way, shape, or form. It might not have been so as extreme, but it's always been a bad decision. And a lot of times people replicate what they grew up knowing. So you never know that his parents or his grandparents may have been hard on him, and they may have spanked with switches, and that may just be how he's programmed. But that's neither here nor there. He's got his second chance. Let him in. Let him play. Give them peace. You know, and let's get the ball rolling. You need to win games. You need winners on your team. If they winners, all right, they've paid their price. They've done what they needed to do. They've made up for it. Okay, so let's move forward. But we can't hover. We're never going to go anywhere. So, you know, then becomes a waste of time. You know, and on the subject of football, and it's kind of sad because Ohio State on Sunday, Karen George, I think that's how you pronounce his name, he was found dead. And he had shot himself. And the coroner requested a special examination, you know, of his brain. You know, and I guess that's what they do now if they've wrestled or they've played any type of football, because they want to know if there's any brain injuries. But his mom, she ain't on her tongue. She is unhappy, you know, and she said it. He suffered from several concussions. He had episodes of extreme confusion, and she feels that, you know, him playing sports and all of those concussions messed him up in the head. It really, and that's how she feels, that it really messed him up. And, you know, and it's unfortunate. And that's the thing. We send our babies off to college. She entrusted you with her son. And I believe that there's a settlement coming to her, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, she's getting some money because she entrusted her son to you, and now he's having issues. And they've had all of these concussion issues going on for years where either the school is overlooking it because they want to win. Something is going on where it's not getting addressed. And it happened in the NFL. and it's going to happen in college football as well. And it's going to keep going until they address it properly, not just kind of brush it under the rug and keep it moving. So this prayers go out to his family, because that's got to be a hard, hard time for them.
It is. I totally agree. And you know, you have brought up that point before where, you know, we send our babies off to college and we expect a certain, you know, protocol to be taken as far as their health, because, as you know, my son plays college basketball, and that's like one thing that I worry about when he calls and say, I hurt my ankle. You know, ankle injuries are key with basketball players. You know, he sent me a picture of his ankle, and it was, like, so big. I'm like, well, who's looking at this, you know? So when you do send your child off to college, that is a major concern as far as injuries, and then playing on those injuries. So that's just no joke. And especially when they're away, it's not like you can go up to the school and see for yourself, you know?
And then that's the thing, and I think in any sports, you know, parents sometimes they can't make every away game. They can't, you know, make every game. They can't make it there at all times. But, I mean, it's just the irresponsibility that's floating around with these schools is just ridiculous. And then you wonder why we got the RG3s and we got the Kevin Durant's that I got to rest my body syndrome going on, because it's like you train them to have this mentality, and it started in college. Play when you hurt. You know, we saw it in Love and Basketball, the movie. She was hurt. It was play when you hurt. Play when you hurt. We're going to keep playing until you can't play no more. It's all over the place, and it's irresponsible. It is irresponsible. Especially for somebody else's kids. If you're not going to do it for your kids, why would you do it for somebody else's? If you expect the coach to sit your child down or take them to a specialist or whatever, then you should. That's how you should treat someone else's child.
Exactly. You know, don't leave it up to that child to say, I can play, because he may expect you to want him to play, you know, because that's just going to exacerbate whatever injury that athlete has and just make it that much worse.
Absolutely. I definitely agree with that. So it's unfortunate, and I hope your baby's foot heals up.
Oh, no, he's good now.
He's
actually playing tonight. So that was last season when he showed us that foot injury, and it was it took a while to heal. You know, he did some therapy, but he's actually playing tonight. Hopefully I'll get to catch some of his game tonight. But it's all good now.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm glad for that.
So you are listening once again to the school boy. I'm sorry, say that again, Alicia.
I forgot what school he plays for. Did you ever tell us? I don't think you told us. I think you told me. I might not have been paying attention.
He plays upstate at Plattsburgh State University.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're actually playing this evening on the road. And I'll get to see him play this weekend.
You tell his coach I got the side eye. He better be making sure. We don't want no more pictures of swollen feet that look like they ain't been handled properly.
Exactly. Don't let me get on the highway. Get to going now. You don't mess around with our babies.
That's right. And I have to drive how many hours? Oh, it's going down when I get there. Your whole school about to hear you get outed. It's going to be like, ooh, your mom, she cussed the coach out in 5 different languages. It's going down. And I'm driving there just to go off on you.
That's the sole purpose.
This is a great night. This is nice.
This is
fun. You got swing.
Say it one more time, Lisa. You got broken up there.
Oh, no. I was like, I like this. This is nice. This is nice. Get well soon, Jazz. Yeah, get well soon.
You whispered that mighty low, Jazz. Jazz, you better watch out for this, Lisa. But you're listening to the scoreboard with Lisa and Tony. We hope you guys have enjoyed our sports talk this evening? Because we sure have. It was fun, Leisha. I enjoyed this.
Yes, yes. We get to talk about that sports and everything sports on here on the Scoreboard. Make sure you guys tune in every Tuesday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. You got Miss Tony and Mr. Jazz in here talking that talk on the Scoreboard. Make sure you hit the archives if you're just tuning in and you missed the show. Anything last thing that you want to mention?
Let's go Knicks. No, I'm just kidding. And let's get that 49er coach into New York. How about that, Leisha? Let's end out with that.
No, ma'am. He cannot go. That was a what if. And I'm sorry that your coach is not the right cast or doing what he needs to do. And I'm sorry that Geno Smith is having problems. I really am. But
you
ain't got nothing to do with that.
They're
going to have to work that out. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to work that out on their own. Mm-hmm. You know, no ma'am.
Well, until next week, we thank D14 with Leisha and Tony. Jazz, once again, we hope you feel better. We will see you next Tuesday. Leisha, I'm going to say drop that beat. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah. All I want is bad feet, cause I don't want no mediocre. Don't want no mediocre, I don't want no mediocre. No, bad mama cedars, ain't no mediocre. Don't want no mediocre, I won't hit no mediocre. Yeah, bad shit, something on a mediocre. On a mediocre, you stand on a mediocre. Seven women with me and none are mediocre. From their head to their tongue, they look far from mediocre. Right hand in the air, a solid swell. I never go with her, she don't do her hair no more. And you don't get no kiss if it's a bush down there. Girl, I should see nothing but nookie when I look down there. They come and get with me, shout her, what better to do? He called me, ask you how you doing, tell him better than you. Yeah, I'm kicked back with four pieces like a Kit Kat. Me hitting, if you ain't a dime, just forget that. Face flat out, cause she don't have. And one of these, well, I think I pass. I just handed her the key to a new dry jam. When she took it, I took it back. You should have asked for a beer. That's me, I'm on the bad cheek, cause I don't want no mediocre. Don't want no mediocre, I don't want no mediocre. No, bad mama cedars, ain't no mediocre. Don't want no mediocre, I won't hit no mediocre. Yeah, bad shit, starting on a mediocre. On a mediocre, you start on a mediocre. Seven, women with me, and none are mediocre. From their heads to their toes, ain't no far from mediocre.
Heard he wanna lay it down on Iggy Iggy, gave it to him twice. Now he wanna three Mike Bibby Diva, but I need a bad boy. Rest in peace, Whitney, part of me, but I don't think none of these bitches with me. Why the billboard stop running in place? Heels on me saying give me 6 inches of space. Courtside, why designer frames cover my face? Now everybody in the game wanna get him a taste. I'm still grand hustle first lady.